VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. We're going to be having a news roundup day today. And there is so much taking place today, not to mention all this week. And we will seek to get as much info as we can out during the course of this hour. As always, we thank Lori Gatza for putting together the time and effort and the gathering of stories and getting information here for us on our Friday news roundup to keep you informed on vital issues. Well, from LifeNews.com, President Donald Trump did address the March for Life. He made live remarks today to hundreds of thousands of pro-life people attending the event from across the nation. The president is keeping a tradition alive that's seen previous presidents taking a pro-life position, making similar phone calls to encourage pro-life advocates to continue fighting against abortion. President Trump became the first president, though, to speak to the March for Life via a live video feed. I'll share an excerpt in just a moment. Last year, he did call out the mainstream media for essentially ignoring the March for Life. Matt Staver says, as he spoke at that 45th anniversary rally, he said this year's March for Life theme is Love Saves Lives. The rally held annually marking the anniversary of the 1973 Supreme Court Roe v. Wade decision legalizing nationwide abortion. Monday is that 45th anniversary of that infamous day, that infamous decision of Roe v. Wade. Lord willing, we'll be talking about that on Monday's program. But let's go to the Rose Garden, where earlier today, President Donald Trump did address not only those at the Rose Garden, but as this was also piped to the location where multiple thousands and tens of thousands were involved in a March for Life rally today.
Today I'm honored and really proud to be the first president to stand with you here at the White House to address the 45th March for Life. That's very, very special. 45th March for Life, and this is a truly remarkable group. Today, tens of thousands of families, students, and patriots, and really just great citizens gather here in our nation's capital. You come from many backgrounds, many places, but you all come for one beautiful cause: to build a society where life is celebrated, protected, and cherished. The March for Life is a movement born out of love. You love your families, you love your neighbors, you love our nation, and you love every child, born and unborn, because you believe that every life is sacred, that every child is a precious gift from God. We know that life is the greatest miracle of all. We see it in the eyes of every new mother who cradles that wonderful, innocent, and glorious newborn child in her loving arms. I want to thank every person here today and all across our country who works with such big hearts and tireless devotion to make sure that parents have the care and support they need to choose life. Because of you, tens of thousands of Americans have been born and reached their full God-given potential. Because of you, you're living witnesses of this year's March for Life theme, and that theme is Love Saves Lives. As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
These are comments that President Trump made this morning to those in the Rose Garden at the White House. And again, that was also sent over to those that were involved in the March for Life. And again, Donald Trump standing up for the sanctity of human life today and speaking on behalf of life. And many are anxious, of course, for more to be done legislatively to protect life. This is from The Hill. The Trump administration is going to create new protections for health workers who have religious and moral objections to certain procedures such as abortion or assisted suicide. The Department of Health and Human Services announced yesterday that it will create a new division under the Office of Civil Rights responsible for investigating complaints filed by workers claiming that their employers have violated their religious rights. The new division is being called the Conscience and Religious Freedom Division that will enforce laws and regulations that protect conscience and prohibit coercion on issues such as abortion and assisted suicide in HHS-funded or conducted programs. That's according to their updated website. Dr. David Stevens from the Christian Medical and Dental Association said, quote, "We are delighted that HHS has formed the Conscience and Religious Freedom Division. It is long overdue." He said there are already laws on the books that will help to address the injustices that laws were designed to prevent, and this division is a way to do that. Our members have been discriminated against, and some have even lost positions for speaking out. That was Dr. David Stevens. From Breitbart, a former Planned Parenthood Health Center director says her main goal is not to make abortion illegal or even to defund Planned Parenthood, but instead to make the entire of abortion unthinkable. As we go to the New American report, a recent report by the Guttmacher Institute reveals that India was responsible for an estimated 15.6 million abortions in the year 2015, putting the country close to China's record in the number of preborn baby killings. Again, we're going to be dealing with this more. Think of the United States. The numbers just surpassed 60 million unborn babies killed by abortion here in the United States since the Supreme Court made their decision that it's constitutional to kill an innocent unborn baby in the womb. Here's an appalling story from LifeNews.com. It takes us to Switzerland. Switzerland has followed New Zealand and a few other localities to outlaw boiling a live lobster. It also requires them to be shipped in salt water. Supporters claim that lobsters can feel pain, a dubious prospect given that they don't have brains to process stimuli. Switzerland has amended its constitution to recognize the individual dignity of plants. One canton in Switzerland assigns a lawyer to represent animals. One such lawyer sued a fisherman on behalf of a client who became dinner for taking too long to reel in the fish. The country has even outlawed flushing a live goldfish down the toilet. So, Switzerland allows suicide tourism through, you know, locals and foreigners attend suicide clinics, charge thousands of dollars to make their clients dead, including joint suicides of elderly couples and the Italian elderly woman despairing over lost looks. The Swiss Supreme Court has declared a constitutional right to assist suicide for the mentally ill, and now they have outlawed boiling lobsters because they feel pain. But aborting babies is still okay. LifeNews.com also reports that Lilianne Ploumen, the former Minister of Foreign Trade and Development Cooperation for the Netherlands, is known for pushing abortion on demand across the world. In 2017, she founded an international abortion campaign in response to President Trump's decision to stop funding groups that promote or provide abortions overseas. You see, he signed the Mexico City policy. Despite Ploumen's pro-abortion record, the Catholic Church recently recognized her as a dame in the Pontifical Order of St. Gregory the Great, the Catholic Herald reported. The award is given to people who display exemplary public service. CNS News reports Plowman received the award in June of 2017 when she visited the Vatican and met Pope Francis. Plowman told the Dutch radio BNR that she saw the award as a sign that the Pope may be more accepting of abortion. For Matt Staver, today, during the 45th annual March for Life in Washington, D.C., the U.S. House of Representatives passed 241 to 183, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, the bill which requires that appropriate medical care be given to any child who survives an attempted abortion. We understand that there was a great push for the heartbeat bill that would prevent and outlaw, ban any abortion on any child who had a detectable heartbeat. But we understand that there's great consternation between pro-life agencies, and some pro-life agencies were reportedly campaigning against it. A special note to our Wisconsin listeners, there are pro-life bills that are being thwarted right now in the Wisconsin state legislature. The state legislative session is almost over. Could be late February, could be mid-March. And right now there are two senators, Senator Van Wongard and Senator Scott Fitzgerald, that are stalling the Heal Without Harm legislation, Senate Bill 423 and Senate Bill 424. It would ban the sale and use of the body parts of aborted babies and instead encourage the donation of tissue for research from children who are stillborn or miscarried. It would ban the sale and use of the body parts of aborted babies, and they are stalling the legislation. In just a moment, I'm going to provide you a phone number to these two Wisconsin state senators. Currently, SB 423 and SB 424 have received public hearings, but the Senate Judiciary and Public Safety Committee Chair, Senator Van Wongard, has indicated he will not advance these bills unless senators make their support for these bills known. Wisconsin Family Action is calling upon people across the state of Wisconsin to contact these two senators, encouraging them to advance Senate Bill 423 and Senate Bill 424 that would ban the sale and use of baby body parts. Senator Fitzgerald's phone number, 608-266-5660. 608-266-5660. Senator Wongard's office is 608-266-1832. 608-266-1832. Again, the legislation would ban the sale and use of the body parts of aborted babies and instead encourage the donation of tissue for research from children who are stillborn or miscarried. It seems like the Republican majority in Wisconsin cannot make up their mind. We're going to be taking a break here momentarily. When we come back, we're going to be delving into the government shutdown and whether or not this is going forth. Where do things stand at this point, and where is the stall taking place? We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, the pterosaurs were flying reptiles, but were they good flyers or not?
Chris, it's hard to know because we've never seen one fly. We do see their skeletal remains, and some of them were absolutely huge. How could they have flown? A scientific study of some of their skulls has given us some clues. That portion of the brain which integrates input from the different sensory organs was large in the pterosaurs, much larger than in other creatures. This gives us the impression that the creature was a good flyer. Of course, evolutionists propose that all these functions and organs came about by natural selection. What could have given some non-flying creature this ability? A much better idea is that God created these huge creatures as a monument to his creative ability and imagination. Today, we just sit back and marvel. And it's been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, Friday News Roundup today, but there's so much happening today. We focused a lot on what is going on this very day. President Trump warned early today that there could be a shutdown coming if Senate Democrats block the vote to pass the short-term spending bill that would keep the government funded. This is from FoxNews.com. The House of Representatives passed the stopgap spending bill that would avert a full government shutdown late Thursday. The bill is also known as a continuing resolution sent to the Senate for a vote following the approval. The large majority of Democrats opposed the bill, but Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia has said he will cross the aisle and vote yes. At least three Republican senators have said they will vote against the bill. Lindsey Graham, Jeff Flake, Rand Paul. Senator John McCain is not in Washington, D.C. for the vote. Republicans have a narrow majority in the Senate, 51-49. Without the support, the funding of the government through tonight is uncertain at this point. From CNSNews.com, Office of Management and Budget is preparing for what they're calling the Schumer shutdown. White House Budget Director Mick Mulvaney told a news conference this morning he expressed surprise that Senate Democrats are opposing a bill that they don't oppose. They're for a clean, continuing resolutions, he said. They're for the extension to the CHIP program. They don't oppose anything in the bill, but they're opposing the bill. Democrats apparently are willing to stop government funding for the sake of 690,000 illegal immigrants who were brought to the U.S. as children and now insist that they should have permanent legal status, if not full citizenship. There is absolutely no reason to have to insert a DACA discussion as an immigration discussion into the funding bill today, Mulvaney said, especially since the DACA program will remain in effect until March 5th. The Trump administration and its Republican allies do not want a shutdown, Mulvaney said. Parks will still be open, Mulvaney said, but trash won't get picked up. Fannie and Freddie will be open. The post office will be open. TSA will be open. But again, all of these people will be working for nothing, which is simply not fair. We need Congress to appropriate these funds, he said. The White House also said that they're not going to politicize the shutdown the way that former President Obama did. Remember, folks, he closed down open-air memorials, barricades around the Washington, D.C., World War II Memorial. He even went so far as out on the highways in South Dakota to block the pull-offs to look at Mount Rushmore from the road. White House says we're not going to politicize the shutdown. Breitbart says House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy said that Republican leadership will send House lawmakers home this weekend, calling Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer's bluff on a potential government shutdown, saying we've passed our continuing resolution. He said this after a House leadership meeting. They also report that the Democrats' 2018 chances will be damaged by the government shutdown if voters blame the Democrats' pro-amnesty agenda, a Washington Post report admitted Thursday evening. If Republicans can make it about immigration, the victory is probably theirs, is reported. Fox News is also pointing out that the Democratic Party appears willing to assign blame for this weekend's looming government shutdown over the failure to agree on the fate of Dreamers, but members might be called out for hypocrisy after their firing comments about Republicans during 2013 shutdown. In 2013, Democrats called Republicans who refused to get on board with the Obama administration's agenda anarchist and arsonist with a bomb strapped to their chest. But Nancy Pelosi at that time said, I call them legislative arsonists. Here's a note here from former Crosstalk guest that we've had, Rick Manning from Americans for Limited Government. He said, as a potential government shutdown looms because of Democrats' insistence on providing amnesty for illegal aliens, President Trump should make it clear that non-essential employees who are laid off based on the shutdown will not receive payments for days not worked. It's unfair to those employees deemed essential who are required to come to work with a promise of back pay to then give that same back pay promise to those who are vacationing. It's unfortunate that the Democrats are putting their illegal alien constituencies ahead of the public employees who would be laid off without pay. But if you don't work, you shouldn't get paid. End of quote from Rick Manning. Well, in other news from CNSNews.com, President Donald Trump issued his proclamation declaring January 16th, this past 16th as Religious Freedom Day, wherein he noted that our forefathers, seeking refuge from religious persecution, believed in the eternal truth that freedom is not a gift from the government, but a sacred right from Almighty God. From the Daily Signal, the United States is well on its way to become a net exporter of natural gas for the first time in decades after breaking an annual record for oil production, according to the latest government data. It's good news for the president's administration, which has been promoting an energy dominance agenda for the last year, but the implications could be further reaching. Unleashing U.S. energy exports has a potential to upset long-standing geopolitical and economic arrangements across the world. The Washington Examiner says new applications for unemployment insurance benefits plunged by 41,000 down to 220,000 in the second week of 2018. That's the lowest level in nearly 45 years and beat forecasters' expectations for low jobless claims. Also coming to us from Bloomberg, U.S. factory production rose for a fourth straight month of December, capping the strongest quarter since 2010 and underscoring a resurgence in manufacturing that's primed for further advances. That's data that showed that from the Federal Reserve. Even Tim Cook, Apple CEO, had a recent interview that about the tax plan. It was on ABC News. He dismissed a number of recent comments by Apple. Rather discuss them, including their plan to invest $350 billion in the U.S. economy over the next 5 years, and the tax plan will help the U.S. economy. From the Hill, President Trump on Thursday said his vision of a border wall with Mexico has never changed or evolved, pushing back on his own chief of staff's comments during a closed-door meeting with lawmakers. The wall is the wall. It has never changed or evolved from the first day I conceived of it, he said in an early morning tweet. We also have from the Washington Times, Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen confirmed Tuesday that her department has asked federal prosecutors to see if they can lodge criminal charges against sanctuary cities that refuse to cooperate with federal deportation efforts. Well, that would be an interesting twist, wouldn't it? Arresting leaders of sanctuary cities? President Trump does not have the legal authority to extend the Obama-era DACA deportation amnesty beyond the March 5th phase-out deadline, said Homeland Security Kirstjen Nielsen, as also reported in the Washington Times. And also, the Justice Department asked the Supreme Court Tuesday to overturn this month's stunning ruling by a lower court that found the Obama-era DACA deportation amnesty legal, yet ruled against the Trump administration to phase out the program that was illegal. Attorney General Jeff Sessions said the ruling defies both law and common sense and said that they're asking the justices to hear the case directly, skipping over the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which would be the normal path. Oh, yeah, the fake news awards were given out. Daily Caller reports that President Trump unveiled his fake news awards Wednesday night. 4 prizes to CNN, 2 to the New York Times, and 1 each for ABC News, Newsweek, Time Magazine, and The Washington Post. Newsmax reports that 2017 was a year of unrelenting bias, unfair news coverage, and even downright fake news. The introduction to the list says on GOP.com, studies have shown that over 90% of the media's coverage of President Trump is negative. Trump's list was posted on GOP.com. The site crashed, but some websites were able to obtain screen grabs of the list. From the Daily Mail, Senator Jeff Flake delivered a scathing anti-Trump speech Wednesday, comparing the president to Soviet despot Joseph Stalin for calling 5 news outlets the enemy of the American people. Okay, let's move on to another topic today. And, this whole aspect, by the way, the Gang of Six is still holding up the dealing with this amnesty aspect. Lindsey Graham is part of that. But he had an interesting statement this week, and Breitbart captured it. He said, America is not owned by Americans and their grandchildren. That's a paraphrase, but instead held by people all over the globe, according to a statement from Amnesty advocate Lindsey Graham. He said, I've always believed that America is an idea which is not defined by its people, but by its ideals, said in a press statement January 12th, which sought to criticize President Trump. He said the American ideal is embraced by people all over the globe. He's a founding member of that Gang of Eight, if you recall, but said of Americans, basically, your country belongs to the world. It's the American ideal, not something that's confined here to our nation itself. The deep state discussions are continuing, and more are picking up and understanding what's happening behind the scenes. Alex Newman wrote for the New American, saying, today, in the face of what appears to be a broad and highly coordinated effort to destroy President Trump, Americans are waking up in huge numbers to the fact that there is a hidden power behind the throne in America, too. The president himself also helped to bring about the awakening, for instance, among other concerns. Candidate and later President Trump warned the followers about the swamp, about a cabal seeking global government, and of course about the deep state seeking to sabotage the United States and especially his America First agenda. This view is now becoming mainstream, evidence supports. In an ABC News Washington Post poll from April of 2017 shows about half of Americans now believe that there is indeed a deep state operating from the shadows to manipulate governmental policy. The Senate, this is from the Daily Caller, Senate voted Thursday, 65-34, to reauthorize the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, that's FISA, piece of legislation that was recently set to expire. The bill passed the House 256-164 last week, and extends Section 702 of the FISA program for 6 years if it's ultimately signed by President Donald Trump. And talking about the aspect of federal intelligence agencies collecting data on foreigners suspected of crimes. This is a story coming to us from the Freedom From Religion Foundations. As they say, many commuters in the greater Atlanta area noticing a secular play on our national motto. You see, they put up a billboard from their nation's, what they call their nation's largest association of freethinkers, atheists, and agnostics, put a billboard up saying, in science we trust. In science we trust. The boarding went up just recently and will be displayed for about a month. Annie Laurie Gaylor, co-president of Freedom From Religion Foundation, said, quote, we need to place our trust not in some deity to rescue us, but in reason, compassion, and humanity. The only afterlife that should concern us is leaving our descendants a secure and pleasant planet and future. Freedom From Religion Foundation with their billboard campaign, In Science We Trust. Well, much happening in the news today. Oh, here's a story as well of interest. The president and chief operating officer of Moody Bible Institute has resigned amid controversy over the theological direction of the institution and allegations of shady administrative practices. The school announced Wednesday one of the school's provosts also will be retiring. This is from the Christian Post in an email sent to the Moody community Wednesday night. Sources forwarded to the Christian Post. Randy Fairfax, the chair of the Moody Board of Trustees, wrote that they had been discussing issues related to widespread concerns over the direction of Moody and accepted the resignations of President Paul Nyquist, Chief Operating Officer Steve Muck, and the retirement of Provost Junius Venugopal. That from the Christian Post. You can go to them for more information on that story. I've got a few more things I'd like to share with you after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For many years, the poetry of Alice Hanshey Mortensen has been featured on VCY America's Music Till Dawn. These poems have brought comfort, courage, challenge, and inspiration to the hearer. VCY America is making available a pack of two poetry books written by Alice Hanshey Mortensen, He Holds My Hand and Just Around the Bend. Inside these books, you'll find writings such as From the Hospital Bed, He Holds My Hand, Homesick for Heaven, Prayer Before Surgery, A Mother's Prayer, and many more. These spiral-bound books include nearly 200 poems that'll be a blessing to you and others. VCY is making available this two-pack of poetry books for a donation of $20 or more to support this ministry. To obtain them, just ask for the poetry books by Alice Hanshey Mortensen when you call VCY America during business hours at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829. or write VCY America, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and here's from thenewamerican.com, Saturday morning, January 13th, Hawaiians received on their cell phones and electronic devices the ultimate nightmare text message, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii, seek immediate shelter, this is not a drill. Loudspeakers began to issue warnings. A bright red crayon flashed across the top of television screens, warning people to seek shelter again, interspersed with the ominous message, this is not a drill. Panicked people called loved ones to tell them that they love them one last time. Parents comforted frightened children. Motorists pulled to the side of the road, abandoned their vehicles, sought shelter. But it was all a mistake. 3 minutes after the false alarm went out, the U.S. Pacific Command informed the Hawaii State Adjunct Adjutant Major General Joe Logan that no missiles were incoming. The Honolulu Police Department was notified immediately after that, but by that time, panic had already begun. On Tuesday, a similar incident occurred in Japan with a public broadcaster sending out a news alert saying that the North Korea had launched a missile and that citizens should seek shelter. The alert was canceled within 5 minutes, averting much of the panic that occurred in Hawaii, which took a very, very long 38 minutes to try and repair the air, several minutes longer than it would have taken a missile to reach the state of Hawaii from North Korea. Radio Inc. reports that Ajit Pai, chairman of the FCC, said they have been in close contact with federal and state officials gathering the facts about how this false alert was issued. Based on the information we've collected so far, it appears that the government of Hawaii did not have reasonable safeguards or process controls in place to prevent the transmission of a false alert. He said we must also ensure that corrections are issued immediately in the event that a false alert does go out. What's also interesting is that we can look back 1 year ago from dod.hawaii.gov, emergency warning sirens across a couple islands went off accidentally at approximately 8:07 that morning, January 3rd, 2017, 1 year before this other incident took place. Very interesting indeed. Let's see. Also from WND.com, the mayor of Dearborn, Michigan, joined a protest rally consisting mainly of his city's Muslim community in denouncing President Trump's decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Dearborn, the home of the Ford Motor Company, is also home to the nation's largest concentration of Arab Americans, who make up 30% of the population. On Tuesday, Mayor John O'Reilly Jr. joined a rally that was arranged by elements of the Muslim Brotherhood to protest Trump's Jerusalem decision. Actually, this is a story, I'm sorry, it carries over from late December. Nonetheless, the Michigan mayor did rally Muslim constituents against President Trump. And let me just also share a couple of things going on a military basis as well. The Washington Free Beacon reports that Russia has dispatched an intelligence gathering ship to the Caribbean Sea that is being closely monitored by the Pentagon, according to defense officials. The spy ship was spotted leaving the port of Spain on Monday, 5 days near the islands there at Trinidad and Tobago, and its current destination unknown, but they're monitoring the ship. The official said it's an annual thing. We've seen it off the Cape Canaveral, Florida area, Kings Bay, Georgia, Norfolk, Virginia, New London, Connecticut. Also from the Free Beacon, an internal Pentagon nuclear study confirms Russia is developing an intercontinental ranged nuclear-armed underwater drone. The autonomous torpedo is among an array of new strategic weapons being developed by Moscow as part of a nuclear modernization underway over the past decade. From FoxNews.com, Americans can travel to North Korea if they wish, but it may be just a death wish, the U.S. State Department cautioned. The U.S. government is unable to provide emergency services to U.S. citizens in North Korea, as it does not have diplomatic or consular relations with North Korea, the State Department published Wednesday on its website. Those who wish to travel to North Korea must be approved for a special validation, which are handed out on very limited circumstances. U.S. travelers given the approval to experience Kim Jong-un's regime should then prepare for the worst, including drafting a will, making funeral and property arrangements with family and friends. Let's open the phone lines today. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event news stories, our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829, LifeSiteNews.com. Maybe you want to comment about the government shutdown. Maybe you want to contact or connect with us about the March for Life today. LifeSiteNews.com, and what's one expert called the most bold exercise in judicial tyranny imaginable? An international human rights court has ordered that 16 countries ignore their own laws and recognize same-sex marriage and transgenderism. In one of those countries, Barbados, sodomy is illegal. The ruling came from the Inter-American Court of Human Rights, which exists basically on the American Convention of Human Rights. 25 Latin and South American countries have ratified or adhered to the convention, according to the court's website. Costa Rica officials asked for clarification on what process was required to legally change the name of a gender-confused person and the rights to property of homosexual partners under the convention. Jones explained, instead of answering the questions asked, the court attempted to issue a unilateral ruling that homosexual marriage with adoption rights is required by the American Convention on Human Rights. Gay Star News called it the biggest marriage equality court order in history. Let's go to the phone lines. We have Sam calling in from Greenfield. Sam, go ahead. You're on the air.
Jim, you said that the Atheist Freedom from Religion Foundation is promoting the slogan, "In Science We Trust." Well, there's a VCY-endorsed book called The Biblical Basis for Modern Science. Hmm. That's all.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah, and by science, you see, Scripture does not contradict science, though they will make change science or claim for scientific fact that which is not scientific fact. But their whole attempt is certainly to seek to say that they are trying to say that there is no God, and we know what Scripture says: a fool has said in his heart there is no God. Thank you, Sam.
Sure.
Appreciate the call. 800-733-9829 is our number today. By the way, New California, have you heard of that? Declaring independence from the state. Several rural California counties on Tuesday declared their independence from the state of California. They plan to bring legislation to the California government in the next year and a half to legally divide the state into two and create the New California, reports CBS Sacramento reporting that. By the way, West Virginia formed in similar fashion, but the group behind the plan wants the new California to include most of the state's rural counties, leaving the urban coastal counties to the current state of California. We've got Jim calling from Wisconsin. Jim, you're on the air.
Yes. Oh, Jim, thank you for getting out the information for Fitzgerald and Vanguard in the Senate. But we need to keep in mind that the state assembly has also have companion bills for this.
Yes, that's correct.
And it's 549 and 550. Now, these have been voted out of committee, but they have yet to get a floor vote. And in the last legislative period, these were killed by Robin Voss, Assembly Bill 305, was not even allowed out for a vote out of committee. Let's hold their feet to the fire. Call your state senator. Call your state assemblyman and tell them, get these things voted on. We need to save the babies.
Yeah, we certainly do. And, you know, we need to see a full full ban on abortion and not one life taken. And it's really appalling that to even say, no, you can't have the sale and use of baby body parts, to get legislators even to go that far has been, certainly a very difficult task by pro-family, pro-life groups.
Yes, and last time Robin Voss said it may affect our stem cell research. That's why he didn't want to let 305 out of the committee. My gosh.
Yeah.
So you want dead baby parts so you can have stem cell research?
Yeah, and that's why the companion bill to this also allows for ethical research to be done for those who will donate from a stillbirth, for science-related purposes. I can tell you this. You mentioned Robin Voss. He does have a toll-free number in the state of Wisconsin, which is 1-888-534-0063. That's 1-888-534-0063. And certainly he's has some sway in the Wisconsin State Assembly, as does Fitzgerald and Wongard, who have been stalling it in the Wisconsin Senate.
Yes. And call your representatives. Call the county clerk. Get their numbers. Call them and put pressure on them.
Thank you for the call here, Jim.
Thank you. Bye.
Michael in Fond du Lac, you're on the air.
Hi, what's going on? So I mainly wanted to comment on just the same-sex marriage thing and their ability to adopt children and have the right to be parents. You know, it's a very controversial subject to some people because it's a new thing. And to me, I think that they should be allowed to. I mean, the world is changing to a way where, you know, the way that we think now is not going to be anything close to what our children think like 30 years from now. You know, and their children after that are going to have a very different world waking up to.
Yeah.
And I think to pretty much persecute somebody or to look down on somebody or to teach your children,
persecute
kids, something negative about somebody, about their own choice, about them exercising their own right and who they want to be with, and how they want to live their life.
Yeah, I don't know.
Narrow-minded way of raising a child.
Well, and Michael, you're being very narrow-minded in how you're saying that here. For those who espouse family values and see what marriage has been since the beginning of time as one man and one woman. And we know, and we've seen reports come through from the American College of Pediatricians, that a child does best in a home that has a mother, female, and a father, male.
I mean, yeah, but that's a study based on a small group of people. How big was the study? Was it done with 200 people?
No, the study is based upon all of human history. It's based upon all of human history, Michael, that a child thrives best when they have a female mother and a male father. That's the test of time has proven that out.
Yeah, but even the figure of having a father and a mother is big for development. But however, I mean, if you have that man figure showing and teaching the child how a man should treat a woman and how a man should conduct himself properly.
Exactly. And that's why a mother and a father is what is best for a child. And thanks for affirming that today. Sue in Hermiston, Oregon, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I want to go back just very briefly, December 7th, 1941, the new invention radar, and they saw some bleeps on a screen and they just assumed it was friendlies and went to breakfast. So this is doing us a favor. I know what they want to do. Hey, it's just a false alarm again in Hawaii. But what we need to do is parents or people in charge, wherever, in our families, start talking to them just in case. And each of us knows what's priority, how we would do it, how we would handle it.
Okay. Thank you for your comments on that, Sue. We'll be back in just 1 minute. Our News Roundup Friday continues here on Crosstalk on VCY, the number 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewtimes.com. Many evangelicals, pastors, police departments, sheriff departments, and even national security agencies are engaging in interfaith dialogue with known jihadis through the Muslim Brotherhood organization. Perhaps they should remember what one Muslim Brotherhood leader said at a convention in 1996. He said, quote, "It depends on me and you. Either we do it now or we do it after 100 years. But this country will become a Muslim country. And I think if we are outside this country, we can say, oh Allah, destroy America. But once we are here, our mission in this country is to change it." End quote. There you see, my friends, Muslim Brotherhood, in the early 1900s, that took part in the Holocaust of Adolf Hitler, has admitted they want to turn America into a Muslim nation. Pray tell, why are Americans engaging them in their strategy of interfaith dialogue?
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and wow, big news this week. President Trump had his medical appointment, had his physical exam, and insisted upon, you know, an exam checking his mental state as well. And his doctor went before the media and was grilled with question after question after question regarding the president's mental stability and his health. And now we have the Washington Post. I mean, this is the same doctor that would examine President Barack Obama. And now we have the Washington Post. Here's an opinion piece here asking the question, is Trump's doctor okay? You know, maybe the doctor now of the president needs to be examined on his stability. Interesting indeed. George, in Iowa, you're on the air.
Hello, I just wanted to know, if you had one shot or one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted in one moment, would you capture it or just let it slip?
Okay, George, let's have your comment today on our topic. Okay, I guess you got your radio up there. I don't know where you're going with that, but that's certainly not where we're going with the program today. It's amazing, folks, to know the issues taking place across this nation. And some states are standing up. Here is an interesting story out of West Virginia, WND.com. A West Virginia lawmaker has introduced a bill to the state house that would outlaw enforcement of current and future gun control laws that violate the U.S. or state constitutions. It's House Bill 2138 in West Virginia, introduced by Republican Delegate Pat McKeon, that would effectively nullify all federal gun control within the state's boundaries. According to a report from the 10th Amendment Center, the bill would make any attempt to enforce such laws a felony. Israel, the Israeli army yesterday revealed details of a massive underground barrier being built along the border with the Gaza Strip in a bid to neutralize the threat of Palestinian attack tunnels. The project's been previously announced, but details of its construction had been kept secret until Thursday when journalists were allowed to view aspects of it. Interesting indeed, taking place there. We have Glenn calling in from Hamilton, Missouri. Glenn, you're on the air.
Hi. My wife and I were discussing this government shutdown last night. We're both disabled. I'm a disabled veteran that has to work part-time because I don't get enough in my benefits. But anyway, we were wondering, since we're both disabled, what does this do to our checks this coming February 1st? And also we were wondering if during this shutdown, if the congressmen are still being paid, so it doesn't matter to them whether the government gets shut down or not. And I'll listen to the answers off the air, on the air.
Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate that very much. Yeah, my understanding is that, number one, all essential services are going to continue, and checks going out. Matter of fact, programs like Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, disability is being reported, The Hill says, would largely be unaffected by a government shutdown. Current beneficiaries could continue to receive their benefits. So that aspect of checks is not going to be deterred. But to your second question, my understanding is yes, that congressmen will continue to get paid during the shutdown. Ron in Racine, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Okay, hello, Jim. I was thinking maybe we should have biology 101 and then ask people, what is a birth certificate? There's my comment.
Okay. Male or female. That's what Scripture says, how we were born. And biology says that too, okay? George in Olney, Illinois, you're on the air.
Yes. In order to do something with this abortion problem, we're going to have to change the minds of the mothers and the fathers, because it takes two people to have an abortion, a mother and child. And, of course, we know that God has mercy on those little children, but there's a song out several years ago that came out, and it goes like this. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Mm-hmm. It rises from around your throne. It's the sound of the babes crying out for mercy and grace for mothers and for fathers to come home.
Hmm.
You know, God, it's God's problem too.
Well, it's not God's problem. God has dealt with it. God says in his word that he hates hands that shed innocent blood. We'll be delving more into the topic of abortion this coming Monday on that infamous day, the 45th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. But certainly it is a blight upon mankind to kill the most innocent, vulnerable amongst us. Thank you, George. We have Brenda calling from Englewood, Florida. You're on the air.
Hi. I would like to make a comment. The left side is very, very together and have their plans. And I would really love to see the pastors in this country, by state, by county, begin to support what is good and be as connected as what the left is. And really, I know we have National Days of Prayer, but I know that if the pastors, the leaders of the people, will step up and step out and make a difference, that a difference will be made in prayer, number one,
mm-hmm.
and in support. They really need to make a difference in that law that garnishes pastors from being able to speak rightly from the Bible and how they believe critically, because
yeah, and let me, and for the sake of time, we're just about out of time here. There is not a law that says that a pastor cannot speak out on these issues of abortion and homosexuality and so forth. You're right. We do need to hear that from our pulpits. We need to hear it proclaimed. Our pulpits in many cases, not all, and I'm thankful for those words not, but our pulpits in many cases have grown silent on that issue. Thank you so much. Jesus in McAllen, Texas, you're on the air.
Yes. Let me see if I make myself clear. I'm going to try to make myself as clear as I can.
Okay, we got 30 seconds.
People that agree that they should have abortions, they say that the government shouldn't tell them what to do with their abortions. And so then if the government shouldn't tell them what to do with their abortions, then I'm not saying that what happened in California with a certain kid is correct. But then if the government shouldn't tell them, then who should say that those kids, the government shouldn't go in there? I think it's a double-edged sword. They're trying to do like a double-edged sword, like, don't tell me what I can do with my abortion. But then that, we shouldn't accept it. That is condoned.
Good point. I'm out of time, and I apologize for that, Jesus. It's another whole story we didn't get into today, but a very tragic story out of the state of California as well. These young kids and even adults shackled. It never should be, but we have such a disregard for life here across this land. By the way, it's Friday. Don't forget Sunday is coming. Be in a Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching local church.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.